updates for you. BJ Daniels, unfortunately, had to get surgery. We injury settled with him. We added Jarrell Presley. So some of you who cover the team will know Jarrell from last year as a halfback. So we had him in, did a workout, looked great, and we're anxious to get him in. He'll have some familiarity with what we're doing. Who we're going to hold today will be Freeman, who's in the concussion protocol, and Jermaine Grace will hold today. But past that, we're back to it. And this day we dedicate to our competition against one another. We call it Comp Wednesday. And it's all the one-on-ones, all the drills against each other, all the team run, the two-minute at the end of the half. So today's focus is mostly good on good. We've got a number of things that we're still trying to emphasize. For those of you who weren't here, I thought we threw a hell of a camp. The goal was, could it be better than the first two, you know, during my time here, to improve on a number of things, and I thought we did that. So what are we looking for today? Guys who can push it and take that responsibility seriously to see how good we can get. And that's really where the focus is for today. So with that, I'll be glad to open it up to your questions regarding the team.
Any update on if Devontae may be able to join practice this week?
I'm hopeful that he'll be through the protocol through the next couple days. So the return to play is the exercise and back to it. So I don't have an update as of yet, but I'm thinking that would be soon. It's not going to be a long-term issue.
Coach Sarkisian was hired. He said that, you know, he planned to apply many of the same principles and philosophies as his predecessor. Do you think that makes it an easier transition this time as opposed to when Kyle came in and they were doing a lot of different things?
Yeah, I think it does, and I can only speak on my experience of that. So I was before I came here, I was in Seattle as a coordinator. I had been there, and I left and went to the University of Florida for a couple years. When I came back to Seattle, it was really the system, you know, that, you know, was going to be in place. Might be a couple pressures here and there or small tweaks of it. But so I can relate to Sark and saying, here, how can we make a good thing and try to add value to it? So that's kind of the, you know, the format I described to him. And well, knowing I've been through that same process where some things you may not understand, and let's take the whole off season to really feel comfortable with why each of the concepts are what they are. And I really challenged him to find out, could he know the players and learn them as well as he could through the OTAs, through mini camp, and here through training camp, so we can have a really good understanding of how to feature them in the very best way.
Anyone else?
Detroit Ho, what was the thought in terms of how you thought he could fit into this defense?
It's a good question, Jeff. I went back to his time. We knew we were looking for another inside guy and somebody who could penetrate. So the way to evaluate him was really going to be on the nickel defense that he played in Kansas City. He's got stamina to play. So he's played a lot of 34, which is your really square as an inside guy. And I knew watching some of the third down rushes and stuff that he had the quickness to go. And so we made a tape to put together some of that stuff with what we did. And so when he came here on his visit, we said, this is how, you know, the style and attitude that we would play with, and this is how we'd feature you in the system. And to his credit, he worked hard to say, okay, that's a style I really want to play. I think I can be productive and disruptive in that system. So during the spring, more learning, okay, how does that go? What would that look like? And I felt like maybe 7-10 days ago, Jeff, is when I felt it really come full circle for him. Like, I know what you're asking here. And some of that you may not be able to do as a lineman, offensive line or defensive line, during an OTA period, if that makes sense. So he needed to go into the mindset of, I got to get it north-south. He did a good job of getting lighter to make sure he could play even faster. He's always had great stamina to play, so it wasn't like here's a 350-pound man who doesn't have stamina to play. He's actually played really high percentages for a defensive lineman. I don't think he'll play as high of a percentage possibly that he's played in the past, but we anticipate that disruption being a real factor.
So, sorry, but when he's in, if he's going to be in primarily on the nickel, are you just going to have three down linemen on that? Or
no, he would be inside kind of the rotation of guys that are working in now is Jarrett, Poe, okay. Crawford, and Hageman. Those are guys that are really getting a lot of work in our inside stuff in nickel. In the base defense, it's almost the same four guys that are working at the defensive tackle. We would also include a package maybe on just some third downs that would include three or four defensive ends on the field at the same time. Some combination of a Claiborne, McKinley, Beasley, and then one of the D tackles.
So even though he basically played in a 3-4,
yep,
a two-gap thing in Kansas City, you saw enough –
athleticism there that you thought you could do different things with him.
Yes, and they played really good, solid, hard nose. I just said, we're going to feature you in a different way. And so the biggest difference, Jeff, from playing two-gap to where you're really playing penetrating is you'd almost line foot-to-foot on a player. And in his case, it was the center. So matching him nose-to-nose, and if he went lateral, you went lateral. And in our system where we're playing in the four-down, everything is north-south. How fast can you attack up the field? So you can imagine that for him was the transition as opposed to playing square. He was going to really play upfield.
Did you look at his offensive tape, too?
Yeah, we did. In fact, there were some people that said, all right, we got somebody on the goal line here. So you may see that package come alive. He does have good hands. I knew he had good hands. So we played overtime the other day. We had a tie at the end, and we weren't going to allow that one. So I had him and Schrader catch punts. I didn't know where that would go. They both caught it easily. And then we went to Matthews and Jarrett in a head-to-head competition, and Matthews won that one. But Poe, hands-wise, he's got good hands.
He's 1-for-1 as a quarterback too.
And anytime you flex a big guy out and throw him a screen like they did in Kansas City, like there's confidence there. It's not like the old jump pass where you throw it 4 yards. You know.
Well, he did that too. Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. All of those are options. But if you just watch him, you'll see him. He does have good hands.
I'm just curious.
Good, Vaughn.
I'm curious. I know everybody's talking about the new stadium and everything like that. Is there a need to, I know you're focused on this week's game, is there a need to maybe go down there and get a feel for it with the team?
We'll do that next week.
Okay.
And that'll be something that we'll definitely get a day in there before, and maybe even one in between then in Jacksonville. So I know a number of you were there over the last couple of days, so we'll get our chance to go down early next week and take our time and go through it all before our game against Arizona.
How many times have you been down?
I've been in once this summer, so right before training camp began, and just wanted to see it all, and it's exciting, kind of to see it. And I haven't been since the field's been in, so I've just seen the pictures and that. But we're pretty pumped to, to go represent, and I'm hopeful the intensity of the crowd is really feeling that way right from the beginning.
Anything in particular that really kind of took you by when you went down there? You're like, wow.
Definitely the scoreboard, in terms of being in the middle of the field and where that was. The spot we went back for the players and their locker room, that's as good as you can get. So for those guys who haven't, none of them have seen it yet. They haven't been inside. So we're excited to show them that.
You mentioned Friday that Hill showed well on special teams, but you hope to see more in terms of finishing runs.
Yep.
How did that first game compare with what you had seen on the practice fields here?
Yeah, good question. The for us, when we play running back here, we have a real style of how we do it. We call it on our track. So we're a one cut and vertical. So when we stutter on those or don't aggressively hit it, so that's a real emphasis for Brian this week to make sure our tracks are correct. In training camp, here's the improvement I saw for him. One from a ball security, I saw him better as a pass catcher, and in blitz protection, he's been on point. So that part, was the improvement I'd like to see. So he's excited to get out here for this next stop. Some of the first time players, you can imagine how excited they are for the first game. I think it started at 7 o'clock, and about 3 o'clock, some guys were about in full pads and ready to go, old Hacksaw Reynolds style, coming out early, dressed for pregame breakfast. So, it'll be exciting to see. Okay, there's another routine we can do here that we got to play at 7 o'clock tonight. And I didn't have the heart to tell them some of you aren't gonna play at 9 o'clock tonight. So, this weekend will be another great opportunity for guys. We're gonna play them, and we need to get these evaluations on these players, and all of it's learning for them. And we can't wait to get going with them again.
Regarding Pittsburgh, have you made any decisions as far as, some of your core guys, how much you're going to play them again this week, and some of those iffy guys? Have you made a determination on Tack, for example?
No, not yet. We're going to go through a couple of days and just see where the guys are. He's up to now close to full for us, so we'll see how the week goes. We hope to get a few guys back for the game. We had about 8 or 9 out last game, and I'm hopeful that number, is cut in half heading into this week.
Later, why in your defensive system does it play to an advantage at his position to be more athletic and to be lighter?
We try to emphasize the upfield disruption of a player. So if you're, he's already has good quickness. We thought if you were 15, 20 lighter, that would make a, you know, a significant difference in that. So the athleticism, the explosion has always been there for him. He's, like we were talking about, just he's a very good athlete. So could he become more explosive by being a little bit lighter? And I imagine this is as light as he's been probably since his college days. The stamina for him has always been good. Like I said, even when he was playing at a heavier weight, he was able to handle a big load. So conditioning, it's not where he was 350 and like really overweight. He's naturally a big dude. So he had to work hard to get his weight lighter, and we felt like that would make a big difference. So we're encouraged by what we see so far.
Did Scott provide any insight for you when you were going through
the game? He did, and more about the teammate and the man, that helped a lot. Knowing that for a guy to come here to really be part of the culture, Jeff, that was going to be an important, you know, decision for Thomas and I to make sure that, you know, somebody that was going to come in here really had a good understanding of what it was. Another guy who helped quite a bit was Tyson Jackson. And Tyson had been here for a couple of years, and they were teammates actually in Kansas City together. And that conversation meant a lot personally to me, because at the time Tyson wasn't on our team. And saying, hey, man, like, this is a spot for you. So, like, that's an example of our feelings for Tyson, even though he wasn't a member of here. Like, hey, this is a you know, a different spot. So that's, you know, the respect we have for guys like Tyson.
Will Teron Ward be wearing the non-contact jersey again today?
He will be today, and that'll probably be the last day that he'll need that.
Coach, when there's the cuts come later in the camp.
They do.
But does it give you a little more time to see some of those guys that may not have extra time?
It's an excellent evaluation for us. There could have been a player, maybe he got banged up in the first game, he didn't get enough. So now we're getting extra evaluations on players all across the league. So I couldn't be more thrilled with this small addition from you know, the management council and the league and the owners to make this decision, whether the guy's here on our roster, on our practice squad, on another team's roster, another team's practice squad. Those are the opportunities that we're going to play the guys. And I think it's one I'd hoped would happen, and I'm glad that it has.
Coach, every time you bring that up, you, like you just said, you seem to really be excited about the one cut day. Do you think that last game, the quality of that game is going to be played different? Do you think the quality is going to be better too?
It's always has been a go for it. And those of you guys who have covered it, you know there's some guys who are, you know, okay, one last evaluation, one more look at it. So I think there'll be more of those players into that spot. We want to make sure who's not over trying and who's able to, you know, function within the system. But I think around the league, the games at the end, more players will be playing. But the same competition for roster spot, possibly 53, 52, 49, that might be whether it's on the team that are playing for or around the league. That's real.
Dan, last year, I believe, when you had the receiver situation or how many receivers were on the roster, on the
right.
Final roster, Williams was there, but he really wasn't an offensive guy. Does that maybe change your thought about how many receivers? Because you talk all the time about how these receivers are competing here at camp and stuff like that. Does that kind of change your mindset?
It's a good conversation because how do you get to whether it's 25 or 26 offensively, 24? How does that factor in? Who is going to have a role on special teams? Eric's role was a unique one. Not only was he a returner on both kickoff and punt, but he was also right in the middle of kickoff. So that's a pretty unique person that is, you know, the toughness and tackling ability to be a cover man and have the return stuff. So he did really have a role for us on teams. And then the other five managed quite a bit of the offensive portion of things. So it's definitely a factor that goes into our thinking. And I think each case is different, Vaughn. I understand where you're going with the question, but I do feel like each, you know, situation is a little more unique. How do you use three specialists? Does anybody have four? You know, those are all questions that come up at the end that make it really challenging for everybody.
You're going up against someone that you essentially started your coaching career with Mike Tomlin. How much of his influence has he had on your career?
He really has, and so our story goes back to his senior year playing in college was my first year coaching. And so he was a senior at William & Mary, and I was my first year coaching there. And so we hit it off right away. And then the next year we coached together at VMI, his first year coaching and my second. And ever since then, all the way back from 1994, you know when somebody has it, and I knew then he was a captain of the team that he had it. And so we coached together, and then through the year it just kept up, you know, from his time in Tampa to Minnesota to Pittsburgh and my various stops along the way. He's always somebody that, you know, I just look to that always handled things in a way that I really admired. And so that's the same thing on his coaching side.
All right. Thank you.
All right, you guys have a good one. Talk to you tomorrow.